From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio, and I don't think anybody in the live stream can hear me, so let me fix that. No, we're fine. All right, we're good. Everybody, can you hear me? I'm not getting... There we go. All right. All good this morning as we start Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to you as we go through. I don't even know what our schedule is. We'll do tomorrow and Tuesday for sure. We'll go from there. I don't know. Neil and I have not discussed it, but nonetheless, Egg Bowl week, 6:30 Thursday from Starkville for... Ole Miss and Mississippi State. The Bulldogs need it for bowl eligibility at 6 wins. They hammered Abilene Christian. No, we're all shocked by that. On Saturday, Ole Miss needs it for its 5th win to have a chance at an APR bowl selection if that happens.
So a slim chance.
Is it slim?
It's pretty slim.
Looks like more teams are winning.
Yeah, the math is not going their way.
Really?
No.
Okay. So we'll tackle that if needed. But nonetheless, that is what's going on. Ole Miss loses 87-86 to Memphis on Saturday at FedEx Forum. They hit a 3 at the buzzer to cut it to that single-point margin after Memphis hit a couple free throws. But we'll go through that a little. And then Keith Carter named the athletic director. We have not had a podcast since that point as well. So a lot going on this morning.
Glenn Boyce spotting.
He was. Heard him talk. Yeah. Hour late, but did hear him talk. Podcast brought to you a single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember about the basketball tickets being a coupon. Use that for $150 off a steamer pack or a sackful there at the Oxford Crystal. And you can come to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. You get your quote and the rest is up to you. You can shop it around or you can do what I've done, what a lot of people have done, and that's get into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service after the sale. Corey wants to be a car guy and he wants to be a truck guy. He'll prove that to you. 662-257-1900.
So where do you want to start out of all that? What do you want to talk about?
I guess we should start with Carter.
Okay. Not a surprise. That standpoint. I think everybody knew what was going on. You wrote this about in 10 thoughts. I mean, we're going to kind of be repetitive, but that's how we have to cover this because we've talked about it for so long at such length and in such detail for that matter. In a vacuum, he's a good hire.
Yeah.
He had the support of a lot of donors, a lot of money people. He'd done that for a long time. He'd done a pretty good job with that because, you know, a fundraiser, you got to be available. You got to be personable. You also are a victim to whatever is going on around you. If everybody's winning and everything's rolling along, I could be a fundraiser and do a hell of a job. If everybody's losing, you have no shot. So a lot of that is victim of circumstance as much as anything else. He's done a good job there. And where I do think, and it's something that Ole Miss fans have wanted for a long time in a lot of different ways. It is almost my birthday. If y'all keep doing this long enough, you'll get it right.
When is your birthday?
Next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So you're close there, but no, it is not November 25th. But anyway, I do think that as much as any administration member can be, more than Ross Bjork, because frankly, Ross was pretty stiff until you got to know him, he's going to be personable. He's going to talk to anybody. He's going to try to be relatable to every part of the fan base, from donors all the way down, something that frankly hasn't always been the case in the administration. So I do think that's going to be one of his goals. He's already been involved with Kermit's search. That does give some credibility.
Sure.
You know, like, again, right, wrong, or indifferent, made a decision on Mike, which at least has some ability to not be analysis by paralysis in some ways. So, no, he's done a pretty good job. I mean, the optics of Matt Luke, the optics of Glenn Boyce, that is what's got Keith Carter behind the eight ball, if there's an eight ball right now.
Well, he's definitely behind the eight ball.
And it's this whole search thing. I mean, I've talked to – and it's not just an Ole Miss deal. I've talked to several administrators at different places, and it's almost like they do it in a conference somewhere. They go, no, just because you say national search doesn't mean that's an outside hire. And it's like, well, but logic gets stupid there. Like, I that is the problem with this is, you said it, we've said this on the podcast, it was in 10 Thoughts. it would be so simple to go, hey, Keith doesn't have the best resume in the world. We love the job he's done. I believe in him, and I'm going to stake my reputation to him. We don't need a search. I've got the guy I want right here. Okay. Well, hey, either way, it's not some crazy whatever. And I get it's a catch-22. I get that.
What's the catch-22?
Well, the catch-22 is you didn't even look elsewhere. You just hired the guy.
Yeah, but that's okay. If you come out and say, hey, look, there's no reason to look elsewhere. We have the guy. He's right here. Mm-hmm. I believe in him. I like this guy. I've come in. I've gotten to know him. Talked to him. I like him. we got to get moving. And I like this guy. And if I'm wrong, well, I'll pay for it. I'll put my reputation on it. But I'll look you guys in the eye and tell you that I'm not wrong. Okay, that's bold.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you know what you want, you know what you want. I mean, you go into, going somewhere today and you're looking around, and you go, hey, I don't need to see the case of what all's there. I just want a cupcake. That's it. I want the cupcake. I don't need to know what other pies or whatever. I like the cupcake. That's it.
I want a chocolate cupcake. That's what I want.
Yeah.
The guy that walks into the restaurant says, I don't even need the menu. I know what I want. Instead, they do this, hey, you guys. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hire Mike Glenn, because remember Mike Glenn? Mike Glenn automatically makes this validated. Oh, and we're going to get Archie Manning to be our consultant to kind of keep us straight. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go out and get some former Ole Miss Rebels, because they love Ole Miss. And to know what's best for Ole Miss, you must love Ole Miss. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to talk to a bunch of people all over the place. We're going to hire a search firm, and we're going to pay a search firm $100,000. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to trick you guys into thinking that indeed, after this big, long national search, where we talk to all these sitting athletic directors, it turns out the very most qualified one was right down the hall. See, little people? And I think that works with like the old Beacon group, you know, the guys that hang out at the Beacon every morning and move one step closer to the end. Those guys, yeah, I think they buy it. Oh, hell yeah, that's what we need. We need us a good love Ole Miss guy. That's what we need. Somebody loves Ole Miss. That's what we need. It's all we really need. Keith's a good rebel. Instead of saying what I said, which is, you know what, this has nothing to do with anything. We like this guy. He's bold. He's smart. Communicates well, doesn't have any major skeletons in his closet, knows what he's doing, is coming from the foundation side, which is what is happening with a lot of athletic directors now, knows how to raise money, understands the dynamics of raising money, and oh, by the way, it's a bonus that he went to school here and he played here, and it's a good thing. He gets it. Coaches like him. And the truth is, we got a lot of crap to deal with. Don't really have time to bring in an outsider who has 2 years to get the lay of the land.
Oh, the only negative at all is that it did not give him the plausible deniability of Bat Luke.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, why did you do it on Friday afternoon?
Could have waited. He's already in the chair. He's doing the job. You could have waited. You could have waited a week.
I would have waited from a week from today.
Yeah.
Now, and he got the question and he answered it. But now, when next season, if next season goes badly in the middle of the year, Keith Carter looks, he gets the question, you knew it was bad. Why didn't you do something about it? Well, because the chancellor told him we can't. And the chancellor denies that, because I don't know if you noticed, but this guy does no wrong. It's always someone else's fault. He passed the buck about 10 times in that press conference.
Oh, it was a pretty good maneuver of, hey, if it doesn't work, it wasn't me. It was Mike and them. They had an unanimous selection, brought it to me, and I was on board. That's it.
So silly. Yes, I would pay to watch the Beacon Club guys versus the Club 1810 guys in a cage match. And it would not last long, and everybody would be laying on the ground quickly, but just from getting their heart rate up that much.
You got a preference out of those two?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to see it last a long time and for there be a lot of casualties.
No, I meant restaurant food.
I've never eaten at either one.
Have you not?
Mm-mm.
I feel like we've had some 1810 something catered at some point, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. thought you've been in there for something over
the years.
I've
been in there, but I didn't eat.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't been in the Beacon forever, like a long time.
I've not been to the Beacon, certainly not in the time that I've been living here doing this job. I've not set foot in there.
So look, Keith has, so look at his agenda a little bit. He said they need to fix or complete the Forward Together campaign. That's been going a long time. He said there's about $17 million left in that. I think that was that $150 million campaign from back in the day.
Okay.
I think that's right.
It beats me.
I'm pretty sure. So, welcome to our existence.
Welcome to our world, yep.
So, they got to get that done. And again, he's got to, I mean, it's a quote and it's a cliche, but it's the absolute correct quote. For that job, for the chancellor job, frankly, too, you don't do it behind a desk. Go out, mingle, talk to people, be as visible as humanly possible.
Yep.
Keith said that, and that's one of the goals, is to act like, you know, start trying to get momentum up, start trying to relate and connect and keep trying to get rid of some of this NCAA crap that's still lingering because nobody trusts anybody. Be the guy people trust. That's Keith's job.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's be the guy people trust.
And I think he'll do good at that. Now, he's got to, and he mentioned this, he's got to get more staff over there.
They're a skeleton crew right now.
They've been bare bones, and there's just, and
frankly, they're two admins short, plus who knows what else throughout the staff.
So it's one of those deals. I mean, this was always, I think it was obvious. You and I was pretty obvious for at least a month that Keith was getting this job. So he's got it. That's over. The whole, are they going to fire the coach, is over. Matt Luke's not getting fired no matter what happens on Thursday. And if you're Keith Carter, you've got a year. And you know precisely what's coming in the next fall. And you've got some time to get organized. The one knock that probably is legitimate on Keith, I'm guessing, and he might tell me I'm wrong. If I am, I am. I'm going to guess that he doesn't have just a world of contacts out there in the college football world.
Which means you're leaning on people. You're, frankly, his contacts for other ADs,
well,
for the most part.
He's got an edge. If I'm right, and again, if I'm not, good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a negative. It's just he's never been in that world. If I'm right, he's got to start working on it right now, getting himself very educated on the coaching landscape. And then if they go 8-4 and he doesn't have to do anything, well, super. But he's got to get himself prepared for if it doesn't go well, he's got to make a response. And he's got to be able to come. He's got to put himself in position to carry out a coaching search this time next season and hope that he doesn't have to.
His next probably decision that he's going to have is, no matter how, I mean, unless they go to Omaha, what to do with Mike Bianco because of last season. Because he did put himself in a really weird spot last year. By not extending Mike, you're setting an expectation that if you don't go to Omaha this year, are you not extending him again? And seasons are different. Players are different. Rosters are different. Expectations to seasons are different. So he's in a really strange PR spot for baseball as they move forward if they don't have some magical season.
Well, I'm going to get on record here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and get out in front of this, and it's a very unpopular opinion. Assuming that it's a typical Mike Bianco season, if you fire Mike Bianco right now, given the state of this place, if you fire that dude, and you don't just start
You're saying if he's a 2 seed and loses in a regional.
If you fire that and you don't set a precedent of, okay, well, we're just going to start chopping heads here, well, then you have no credibility and it looks personal. It looks like you are using him as some form of a scapegoat. When Mike Bianco's done a hell of a job for 20 years, and especially in light of some of the hirings that have happened here now, where Glenn Boyce gets a job that he sets the profile for, where Matt Luke gets a job inexplicably, frankly, if we're just being honest. Because listen, here's what's happening in the landscape of the football league. Arkansas is going to make a hire. They're going to hire a human being. It's not going to be Barry Lunny Jr. The word on the street is Justin Fuente right now. I think Joe Moorhead's coaching his final game at Mississippi State on Thursday, one way or the other.
Yeah, and we'll get to that.
And I think they're going to make a good hire. And if they make the hire that I think they're going to make, he is a good coach. who makes a lot more cultural sense there than Moorhead did, and he will be a force to be reckoned with on the recruiting trail. My point is, you better get your crap in order and get ready to do it the right way. And spending a lot of energy and money to get rid of Mike Bianco after 20 years when he's got a really good team coming back the year after that, frankly, seems silly. Feels like a waste of energy, a waste of resources, and a complete waste of time. And I know that's an unpopular opinion. The opinion is everybody should go to Omaha every damn year. That, when you look at limitations and you look at the whole deal, and I don't want to get into a whole baseball discussion today on November the 25th, Mike's done a really good job. Had a couple of unlucky deals in super regionals. But right now is not the time to go, hey, you know what? Let's see what we can get on the baseball market. My opinion.
Well, frankly, if an argument, if anything, is the next coach, you need to back the salary up. A whole other discussion, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a real chance that you replace Mike Bianco with someone who doesn't do quite as good of a job of managing it as Mike Bianco. And before you know it, you're Alabama baseball.
Yeah, you got a problem.
It's my opinion. I know it's not a popular opinion, but it is a legitimate opinion. It's how I genuinely feel. The whole not extending Mike Bianco thing felt like a little bit of a, hey, look, I want to show you guys that I can be strong. And it worked. So good for him. Firing him is a completely different animal.
But even not extending again is another animal.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I mean, that pushes you down. Now, he's been there once. Ross didn't extend after 12 or 13. He had 2 years left as he was coaching into 14.
Well, the problem with that is if you don't extend him again, and then the next season he comes back with a really good team, Nikhazy and all those guys as juniors, and all of a sudden they go to Omaha, he walks in the door and he goes, all right.
That's what happened in 14.
Yeah, so now I want the great big deal.
Yeah, he goes to Omaha, finishes third in the country in 14. He only had at the end of 14 1 year left on his deal, and that's when Ross gave him that contract that has put us in, or put Ole Miss in this situation, put us in it, talking about it every day, is that Ross thought, okay, I get sort of the logic behind it. Ross has thought, okay, they've been to Omaha. He's going to continue to win. And if he hits his incentives, well, we're going to be where we want to be, and I'll pay him whatever he wants to make. Well, what Mike did, I mean, he'd do it on purpose. Obviously, he'd like to finish third or better every year. But he hit all the incentives without hitting the thing the fan base actually wanted him to do. Because what Ross did was he put in this base deal, and he said, okay, whatever incentives you make at the end of this year, bonuses, those become your base the next year. So his base just keeps
Yeah.
Because you look at it, he gets the huge race after 14. In 16, they win the West. They host a regional. In 18, they win the West, host a regional. They do all this stuff. There's APR bonuses on probably all this stuff. All of a sudden, you look up, and he's a top five paid coach in the country who's been to Omaha once in 19 years. Yeah. I get the optics of it.
I do, too.
It's just a really strange thing, the way this is happening. Now Ole Miss is in a strange spot from a salary standpoint. So
here's the optics, though. You fire Mike Bianco in a baseball season. Right now, Mike has to be hearing this going, why the hell are we talking about firing me right now? It's November. But you fire Mike Bianco after what would be an average baseball season. Are you firing Matt Luke at 6-6? Because if you're not, I'm asking why not. You've already said average is not acceptable. Are you firing the volleyball coach? Firing the soccer coach? How long does women's basketball get? How long does anybody? Because if average is not acceptable, well, hey, a lot of heads getting chopped. But for now, it's just words. I'm Keith. I'm taking the next few months and I'm getting myself very educated in the college football world.
Of course.
I'm benefiting from the fact that I've got a very stable basketball program. Frankly, benefiting from the fact that I have a very stable baseball program. That I've got a women's basketball coach that, while she's not winning, they are recruiting at a pretty high level, and there's some reason for some degree of optimism.
Yeah, and they were so bad that you're just turning the clock off right now.
I know I have a softball issue that we've not touched on because, frankly, I don't know what's going on. But I'm taking advantage of all of that, and I'm getting myself educated on football.
Yeah. Kermit and Mike, go to work, and I'll talk to y'all later.
And then if Matt takes that off the table, cool.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I've got to be ready to go.
Yeah. Take a break as we move on with the show. I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Great time to talk to Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE@communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community located 8 miles southwest of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. SplinterCreekMS.com is the website. 601-898-2772 is the number you call to schedule a tour with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents today. If you're coming up for the holiday and you're thinking about moving to Oxford, you're thinking about retiring in Oxford, you really owe it to yourself to look at Splinter Creek. It has 34 lakefront lots ranging in size from 2 to 25 acres. There's 650 acres of lakes, pine, and hardwood forest, 6 miles of private roads. It's the lakes are the main streets of Splinter Creek. They each have a combination of docks, floating piers, a pavilion with fire pit, outdoor kitchen for use by homeowners, their families, and guests. There's just a lot there. You owe it to yourself to check it out. 601-898-2772. SplinterCreekMS.com. Dead Soxy is running a BOGO this week. Buy one, get one. Use the code RG19 to redeem. Now look, here's how you do this. Giving you a little insight on how to maximize your buy one, get one free if you're doing it. You have to put both items. So let's say you're getting a six pack. You have to put 2 6-packs in the cart. One at checkout will become free. And here's a catch. There's always a catch. This is a catch. There's only one BOGO per transaction. So if you put 6 bundles in your cart, you're only going to get one bundle BOGO.
You're paying for 5.
So what you do is, since you're an advertiser, we're going to tell you the trick to maximize the sale. Use the code for an unlimited number of transactions. Just, you can keep going back. Do a new transaction. Enter RG19. Get your BOGO. It's that simple. Remember to put both items in the cart. It's a quantity of 2 for those of you that did not graduate from ULM. It's put 2 in, pay for 1. RG19 is your code. So load up your sock wardrobe for the year with this incredible offer from Dead Soxy. We're now about, 4.5 weeks from Christmas. Don't let yourself be the person that gets caught in the hustle and bustle of last-minute shopping. Our friends at Blue Delta Jeans are offering gift cards for their bespoke raw denim jeans for $100 off. It's a great way to treat your friends and family with a great Mississippi-made product for the holidays. So drop by the Oxford studio to purchase or get in touch with Blue Delta on their social media or at info@bluedeltajeans.com to have a gift card mailed to you anywhere in the world. Our friend Mr. Parham here had an incredible Saturday. He did not have as good of a Sunday, thank God, but he had a very good Saturday. He has moved into a 1-game lead over myself, Jeffrey, and Zach. We are all 1 game behind him. We are all tied. We have picked 109 games this year, and we are separated
by one game.
My math. We have picked 119 games, and we are separated by 1 game. Picks will be up on Thursday. We pick a lot of games. They're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap, located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with a come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers, offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders online currently receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford.
Podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but also custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces of all kinds. They also have paver patios, forestry mulching, and more. That's gomastercuts.com for a free quote, or give them a call at 662-607-7773. Yeah, I think undefeated on Saturday, and then I think the Saints game was the only one I got right on Sunday, as they not cover against the Carolina Panthers.
That's correct. And I made up a little ground with you on Sunday, because for whatever reason, I'm good at picking NFL games.
Yeah, I'm awful. I just don't watch it. Yeah, it was bad.
I watched the Niners some last night. I sat outside. We had a fire.
They were good.
And they're good.
They're good.
They're not fluky. That defense is legit.
G.J. Jones playing well, by the way.
Yeah. They got dudes all over that defense. He's one of those dudes.
Moving to basketball. Memphis 87, Ole Miss 86 from the Forum. Great environment. Yeah, great awesome. Atmosphere.
It was awesome.
Matthew Morrell was there. Kennedy Chandler was there.
John Morant was there.
There you go, him too.
Cedric the Entertainer, who I don't know anything about, but everybody's making a big deal out of him.
LeBron was annoyed because it was loud across the street.
Yeah.
So he had all that going on Saturday in Memphis. Ole Miss got completely demolished in the paint. That is what lost the game on Saturday. They made a frenetic run there late to try to get back into it, and they did. They couldn't – they got back, and it sort of took all their energy. They couldn't hit that shot to then get there once they kind of got back in it. Again, they ended up hitting the three at the buzzer, down four to make it a one-point game. I guess it was a cover at least, Vegas – well, gave Ole Miss a win there from a covering standpoint.
Blake Henson's half court heave shifted money.
Yeah.
Yep.
The ball was in the air and that rotated all the money to the other side.
Yeah, because there was a cat behind me, big Memphis fan, who was obnoxious, the worst trash talker I've ever heard. And he kept yelling at the referees when they were looking at the scores table to see if Henson got it off in time, going, "No basket, no basket, no basket." And I realized, dude's got money on this. And sure enough, when they said basket, he was like, damn it.
So, yeah, he had Memphis to cover.
He had Memphis cover in the 1.5, and they didn't cover it.
So, you and I talked about this. We haven't done the podcast. I don't still not know about Cedric the Entertainer.
I'd never heard of him before.
Like Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer?
Nope.
No, nothing?
Does nothing for me.
You don't know Steve Harvey?
I know who Steve Harvey is.
Okay.
I've never watched like his show or whatever.
Okay.
Except I've watched Family Feud.
Yeah. He did that too. Who's your favorite Family Feud host over the years?
Richard Dawson.
Is he? Yeah. He's the one who kissed everybody, right?
He was the best.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. How big of a problem is this paint issue? Is it just a one-time thing because of how it happened? Or is that something that's actually something that needs to be diagnosed as they move forward? They were dominated 50-22 in the paint.
52-20.
Okay, close enough.
Well, I mean, look, it's a problem. Everything Kermit has been talking about, where they got away with it against Seattle and Norfolk State and Arkansas State and whoever the other team was they played. They got away with some
of Western Michigan.
Yeah. Got away with a lot of that stuff. Right, you know what I mean when I say the ball sticks? Do you know what he's talking about when he says the ball's sticking?
It stays. It doesn't keep moving around, right?
Brian's just dribbling.
Yeah.
The ball sticking is mostly a Brian Tyree problem. When Brian takes good shots in the offense, I don't know what his shooting percentage is. It's really high. When Brian starts trying to take games over, when Brian drives to the basket, good things happen. When Brian takes threes in flow in the offense, good things happen. When Brian starts dribbling the ball, dribbling, 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 bad things happen. I told you this Saturday coming back. At times watching Ole Miss, it reminds me of the old Thunder teams, the Westbrook, Durant, Thunder teams,
mm-hmm.
where one of them just starts dribbling. Well, Kevin Durant's maybe the greatest scorer in the world. Russell Westbrook, whether I know he's a polarizing dude, but Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer, MVP, two-time NBA scoring champion. You can get away with that with athletes like that. Ole Miss doesn't have one of those dudes. They don't have anybody that can just take a game over by himself. They've got to run offense. And when they run it, they're pretty good. But they had this midsection of the game where they had foul trouble. And people say, well, man, Precious Achiuwa is really good. Yeah, he is. He's a beast. DJ Jeffries is really good. He's really, really good. But when your offense doesn't touch the paint, you don't get paint points. Stands to reason. And when your offense avoids the paint as much as Ole Miss's did on Saturday, you're really dependent on shooting percentage. And Ole Miss didn't shoot the ball all that well. I mean, they were 26 for 66 from the floor, 12 for 27 for three, 27 three-pointers, probably more than they wanted to take. Memphis, conversely, 30 for 58. They only made three threes, 3 for 11 from three, all from Tyler Harris coming off the bench. I mean, Memphis led the game 25 minutes. Everything else is even. Turnovers, 12 to 13. Ole Miss wins the turnover battle by one. Rebounds, 38 to 38. I got it wrong the other day because I was looking in the wrong category. Fouls. Memphis commits more fouls than Ole Miss does, 30 to 25. Second chance points, 9 for Ole Miss, 10 for Memphis. Fast break points, 14 for Ole Miss, 20 for Memphis. Big deal. That's we'll talk about that in a minute. But it, you know, it all comes down to points in the paint, 20 to 52. That's your ball game. And they got those because Memphis, to their credit, was disciplined. They were disciplined, but they're going to run the offense. They and their offense is not particularly complicated because I don't think Penny's a very good coach. But they, by God, got the ball to Achiuwa. They got the ball to Jeffries. They drove. They created issues in the paint. And Ole Miss fouled. And some of the fouls were legit, and some of the fouls were stupid, stupid fouls. KJ Buffin has to stop it because when KJ's on the floor, he's a really good player. But when KJ's getting upset and he gets emotional and he commits these emotional fouls, he's getting himself on the bench, which makes them a worse team.
Oh, like Terrence did early in his career. Terrence had that problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Fouling.
Yeah. I think they're fine. Look, they got a big test Wednesday. Penn State's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're better. They used to suck.
Yeah, I know. They're top three or four team in the Big Ten, I think.
Really?
So, you know, they got to take better shots. They got to run their offense. They got to be a little more disciplined. They got caught up in the emotion Saturday. Devontae spent a lot of emotion, I mean, a lot of energy, I think, trying to impress his old AAU teammate, Ja Morant. And I thought Devontae got tired.
So, fast break, you mentioned you want to talk about that.
Got beat in defensive transition. Inexcusable. Can't happen. Blake Kinson takes a silly three, watches it. They slip behind him.
Yeah, they did get beat a lot in transition yesterday.
Brian and Devontae have to get back. I mean, that is something that Kermit Davis works on in every single practice.
Yeah, you mentioned this here. Penn State 5-0. Pretty impressive 5-0, frankly. They got their bye game, the opener against Maryland Eastern Shore, 84-46. Wagner, 91-64. But then they go to Georgetown, win 81-66, get a 15-point win against the Hoyas.
Yep.
Beat Bucknell, 98-70. Bucknell's a tournament team, at least, usually wins their league. And then beat a different style and a pretty good Yale team, 58-56. Over the weekend. You get bogged down by some of those good Ivy League teams, and that happened, but they pulled it out. They won.
They've done a good job.
And now their next four, their next five even, I'll throw that in there. Their next five games, Ole Miss, Wake Forest. This is not counting the second day game, so really six. Ole Miss and then Syracuse or Oklahoma State. Wake Forest, Ohio State, Maryland, Alabama.
Ooh.
Their next seven.
They'll learn a little bit about themselves here.
Yeah. And then it kind of – well, I guess conference play starts early. I guess they start conference play December 7th?
Big Ten always starts pretty early.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it looks like. But, yeah, Penn State playing well. Playing really well. That game's Wednesday at 3?
Wednesday at 4, I think.
4. Okay.
ESPN 2.
Trying to think of anything else basketball related, but
I mean, the people that I've seen people, oh my God, it's no panic. That loss is not going to hurt you. Memphis is absolutely a tournament team. Their net's going to be very good. That loss is not going to hurt you at all.
When Wiseman's back, they're a Final Four pretender. Because Wiseman and Achiuwa down there.
With Jeffries? Man, DJ Jeffries. You put DJ Jeffries
on the changed the Ole Miss team a little bit, wouldn't it?
Just a little bit. Hadeem C, KJ Buffin have to stay out of foul trouble. They have to maximize their fouls. Devontae's got to settle down and be Devontae. And Brian's just got to quit forcing stuff. All fixable things. And Blake Henson's return, I thought, really helped them. They've missed his voice. They've missed his presence. They've missed his production. Blake was, Blake was 5 for 9 from the floor, 4 for 7 from three. 3 rebounds, couple of assists, real solid. And my guy, I'm just telling you, my guy, Austin Crowley, it's coming. Coming. Soon.
He said 2 threes wiped off in the last two games.
6 assists the other day. Had a was one of very few players on the floor who were in the plus, in the plus minus. In a real close game, plus minus is something some kind of interesting to look at. Hadeem C was a plus 7. Brian Tyree was a plus 2. Crowley was a plus 8. Bryce Williams was a plus 1. And Dude Collins somehow was a plus 4. Everybody else was a minus.
I'm not a basketball guy. We all know this. That stat seems very overrated to me. I feel like plus minus could easily get you in your head a little bit if you paid much attention to it.
Especially in really small sample sizes.
Yeah. Some dude takes over on the floor and your plus minus is great when you didn't do anything.
Yeah. Crowley really facilitates offense better than a lot of the guys on that team. I like him. Did we read Sankey's comments about the Egg Bowl? I haven't.
What's that?
No. I don't know.
What did he say?
Mexican Narwhal says that he said something. I have no idea. No idea what that means.
No, I don't know. It's just play a game.
Yeah.
Play a game.
Play a game and don't brawl. The brawl looks so bad. I know people like it and it gets them all jacked up, but it looks terrible. I know people want us to talk about the Mike Smith thing. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
I'd need a lot more verification.
Yeah.
Got a couple things I think happened, but I'm good.
I mean, I've heard one general thing, but I don't know. Beats me. I agree with the person that says Bryce Williams needs to play more. I think he's going to. He's super athletic. Now, here's the thing. He blows assignments left and right, and he's got to get better with that. Got it. He's doing the JUCO thing. So is Hadeem, really. The JUCO thing, in JUCO, guys that are that good can take breaks on the floor. Take a possession off. Lag a little because everybody on the floor can't burn you. In a high-level game like Ole Miss Memphis, you take a possession off, you get burned. You lax a little, you get burned. Like Williams had a drive where in transition, it was late in the game, a drive in transition where Crowley was wide open for a corner three, and instead he kind of threw up a wild shot. Got to have more presence. Got to be ready to roll.
He is a punishment ready if they fight, according to the live stream.
Okay.
Don't fight.
Cool. Don't fight. Just play the game. You know, certain players on that team, Mississippi State team, are going to talk. Ignore it. Play the game. I thought it was a really bad look last year. I know I'm in the minority. I thought it was a terrible look. Having covered Alabama, Auburn all those years where you just don't see that, I thought it was a really bad look. Just show up and play the game.
It hasn't just been a game in a while.
No, it hasn't. I mean, not since all the NCAA stuff.
I mean, the feeling, even in 14 and 15, it felt combustible. And those high-leverage games that really mattered from a landscape. I mean, Chase, those son of a guns.
Chase, last year, if the Ole Miss student section had been full and given a damn, that thing was going to get ugly. That was bad last November. I think people forget how bad that was, how ugly that could have been. That thing almost spilled into the stands. It was right there on the cusp.
College football version of the palace kind of deal.
Malice in the Palace.
Yeah.
You just chill out. Yeah, apparently LSU is the only program in the world that knows how to leave a trophy on the field. That's it.
They've done it twice now in back-to-back weeks.
They do not care about those two trophies. Send them somewhere. They do not care. Ed Orgeron just flat trash-talking Arkansas when it's over.
Was he?
Yeah, because we don't celebrate Arkansas. They hadn't beaten anybody in a long time.
Oh, they asked him about it?
Yeah. Asked him about the trophy. We're not celebrating. Who won the SEC West? Didn't celebrate. Yeah. I gave them credit. They are dialed in on one goal.
What do you set a line at right now, Ohio State LSU?
Ohio State minus 2.
Really? Okay. So you'd give me points with LSU right now.
I'd give you 1 or 2.
Ohio State played okay on Saturday. Not great.
We're fine.
Beat Penn State by 10 or so.
Weather was a factor.
Yeah. Fields did enough. Had some goofy turnovers that would pop you against an LSU. Didn't play clean, but, you know.
You think Joe Burrow's living a good life in Baton Rouge right now?
It's going all right for Joe. I think Joe's having a good day. I think he can already pick out a spot on the mantle for the Heisman that's going to come his way. He most prolific quarterback in LSU history for sure. Looks like he's on pace to break the SEC record as well. I'm pretty sure. It's like Tim Couch, I think, has it. Because Chad Kelly's like second or third his season. Yeah. Because when Chad finished, he had the third best SEC total offense season in history, behind Manziel's 2 seasons. Manziel was 1 and 2, and then Chad was 3. And I think Burrow will pass him if he hasn't done it in this next game. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I'm just guessing life is good right now.
All the way around, just right?
Generally. Happy times.
Well, pretty charmed life. I mean, he was Mr. Whatever in 2 sports in high school.
He's Mr.
Football and basketball.
Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball in Ohio in the same year.
It's a big
year.
State.
Yeah, some good basketball players in Ohio.
Yeah.
LeBron James is from Ohio.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a false equivalency, but yeah, that's great.
My point is they play pretty good basketball. It's not like being
Mr. I mean, it was like, hey, you know, he was the running back of the year in Mississippi. Walter Payton's from Mississippi. Well, okay, thanks.
Yeah, but it's like being Mr. Football in Mississippi. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, being Mr. Softball in Mississippi, probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah. My point. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M right there on South Lamar in Oxford. Flu vaccines available. $0 copay. Go get it done. If you have not, you have to wait in line and wait for an overworked pharmacist to chain drugstore instead. They will get you out quickly and painlessly as possible. That's Tyson Drugs again on the square in Holly Springs or G&M on South Lamar in Oxford. 662-236-2222.
Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, got advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. Pinnacle Trust investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. The cookie cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. So go to pintrust.com, PINNtrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. Podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. The Westin Jackson is a Marriott property located in downtown Jackson. It is a place where you can accrue or redeem your Marriott rewards points. You also can visit Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. And then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. And brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, the anniversary trips you'll never forget, resorts in Florida, the Caribbean, cruises, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. What you do is you give John a call, you give him an email, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and let him give you options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901 494-3387 or send him an email at jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
So you think Joe Moorhead is coaching his final game in Starkville on Thursday?
I do.
I kind of want to.
Number one, if they lose, I think they're going to fire him. I'm not going to judge anybody off of just one crowd. And it was, I think, cold. I think it rained before the game. People got wet, and then the cold weather kind of rolled through.
We're talking about Saturday?
Saturday in Starkville.
It was Abilene Christian.
It was Abilene Christian. The game was out of hand. But there was nobody there second half.
Worse than Ole Miss in New Mexico?
About the same.
Okay.
Tyler Horka sent out a tweet. So I'm sure that he questioned everybody as they left the stadium, because that's, you know, it's a big deal for him.
Mass exodus.
People leaving stadiums is a big deal to him. There doesn't seem to be a lot of emotion inside that fan base, inside that team, the way they play. They haven't had a very good season. A loss to Ole Miss puts them at 5-7, knocks them out of a bowl. This absolutely should have been a bowl team. I think they probably move on at 6-6, where they get the Independence Bowl or the Liberty Bowl or whatnot. My gut is that they would like for him to take the Rutgers job. They would like for him to leave.
They can get Shiano. It opens back up, it looks like.
Oh, and he's back in the mix there.
Who else is in it?
I don't know. I think they thought they had Shiano for a long time. And then ultimately, he just said, no.
Oh, that crowd is terrible.
I'm good.
The crowd's worse than Ole Miss. Wow.
Yeah, there's nobody there. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances, but still. Hard to ignore that optic if you're
John Cohen
and the people there.
I mean, that's really bad. Wow. Okay, anyway.
Gene Chizik.
What about him? Seeing it?
COL Reb 2000 says rumor mill Gene Chizik, he misspelled it, being talked about in the Cowtown. Does Starkville have a lot of cows? Is that why people call it Cowtown? What's that about? I've never really been there much other than right to the stadium.
I mean, I don't know if they necessarily have a more abundance of cows, but I mean, it's an agricultural school in the middle of nowhere.
Gotcha.
I think they get hurt a little bit. I mean, yeah, it's not some beacon of excellence or anything, but I think they get hurt a little bit, too, by all the athletic stadiums being right on the highway. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that just come to the game, it's all you see. You don't – I mean, you kind of got to be going to some of their better places to get to those places. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like a centralized, hey, look, you're just coming into Lamar and you see the square and whatever, and here we go, and it's whatever. So that, I think that plays a role in it a little bit, too. Okay. Let's say State – wins the Egg Bowl on Thursday. You think that he has to leave on his own at that point? He does not get fired? I have a point for this.
My guess is he kind of gets encouraged to leave on his own. And then if he doesn't, they're in a weird spot.
Where I'm going with this.
Okay.
It's hypothetical at this point because we don't know. Is if they fire Joe Moorhead and he beats Ole Miss, goes 6-6, goes to the Birmingham Bowl, plays, who cares?
Okay.
Do we have to reevaluate our comment about how it's all about beating Ole Miss if you're Mississippi State? They have changed the dynamic at that point. I mean, that's what's interesting about this to me is that by doing that, they would be Joe Moorhead 2-0 against Ole Miss, bowls in two straight seasons. We have to say, no, we've changed our expectations. It's not just about this. It's not just about having a postseason trip at all. Now, it also could be John Cohen going, hey, this isn't a fit, and we are getting on fumes, even if it did kind of work out right now, sort of. You know what I mean? There are two ways of thought to it, but there have been a lot of times at Mississippi State that no matter what the fit would be, beating Ole Miss would be the fit, period. Wouldn't matter what the dude was like, even though this is really awkward in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
that's why I'm interested, is if State has signaled, at least to some extent, an altering of expectations.
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but you're right. Because if he beats Ole Miss, let's talk about this game for a minute. Zach and I did this on the
Soft Verbal.
Let's play it both ways for a minute for both teams, both programs. Let's say let's start with Mississippi State winning the game.
Sure.
If you're Mississippi State and you beat Ole Miss Thursday night, you beat a 4-8 Ole Miss team that beat no one all year to go 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
Your attendance is down. Your fan base is nah. I think the most positive emotion they have about Moorhead is meh. Fair?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal, frankly. Yeah, you run around with the egg, yay, and it's the next day you get to make fun of your Ole Miss friends or whatever. But realistically, does it say anything about your program in a positive manner? Not really. If you lose to Ole Miss, you lost to a 5-7 Ole Miss team that at that point you were their biggest win and you suck. And yeah, they run around, they take the egg because Ole Miss won't have the discipline to leave the egg there. There's no chance in hell. They're going to grab the egg and they're going to run around and everybody's going to get emotional pictures with the egg, and Ole Miss probably, against its better judgment, will put out some snarky tweet on Friday morning that makes it look like they really accomplished something by beating this bad Mississippi State team on the road, and here's the egg. If you're Mississippi State, does it really change your program that much right now? Because you're in the same spot. That's why I don't like basing decisions on one game. If you're thinking about firing Joe Moorhead if he loses to Ole Miss, then you should fire Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, if you're dictating this to all on one game against a team that's either going to go 4-8 or 5-7.
And then, yeah. And frankly, if I'm them, I do it before the game. I let it get out before the game that this is his last game, no matter what. I don't let it be, hey, we fired him because he lost to Ole Miss. And then if you're Ole Miss, on the flip side, here's this team that goes into the game 4-7. And if they win, they go 5-7. State's your biggest win. What is it really worth? What does it really mean? I don't know. If you lose, you're 4-8. Your best win of the year was probably Vanderbilt. The thing with Ole Miss is that no matter what, no matter how much Ole Miss wins or loses by on Thursday, it is nowhere near as big of a game as the game in Houston to open the season against Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State. It goes into the offseason 4-8, gnashing of teeth, blah, 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 blah. If they beat Baylor, off they go. People say, oh, here, I told you, last year was dues paying. Here they go. And if they beat Mississippi State and they run around with the egg and yay and all that stuff, and then you go lose to Baylor, immediately, any capital that is gained from that night in Starkville disappears in Houston in its entirety. Just my opinion.
Oh, the Baylor game's huge. Just huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to.
Now that there's an AD in place and the decision has been made to retain Matt Luke no matter what, I think this game for Ole Miss is, I won't say meaningless because it's a rivalry game and it's State, but it's as meaningless as a rivalry game can be.
Current spread is either 2.5 or 3, depending on the book of your choosing. State
favored?
State by 2.5 or 3 right now.
Yeah.
If you'd like to bet on Ole Miss, your money line, you can bet 100 to win 130. If you'd like to bet on State, you got to bet 150 to win 100. That is your money line.
What's your initial leaning on this game?
I don't know. Neither team's been able to throw. And that, I mean, if you could switch the skill sets, it would be whatever team could throw, but neither team's thrown. So I'm really confused.
They're both pretty decent against the run.
Yeah.
And they both run the ball pretty well.
Yeah. I mean,
and neither of them can throw it at all. And State can't defend the pass.
As of my first inclination, if you told me to guess something, I'd like the under.
What's the weather?
I don't know. The over under is 59.5.
Oh, I kind of like the over.
You like the over?
Yeah, because Ole Miss can do that deal where even if it falls way behind, it can score a lot of points. And Ole Miss's defense, although they're really good against one-dimensional run teams, the way to beat Ole Miss is to throw the football.
Odd Shark is predicting a 32-31 Ole Miss win.
Yeah. My initial thought for picks is that I will, if you're going
to. I think I would just take the points on either team, yeah, frankly.
If you're going to give me points.
Give me a field goal, I'll take a field goal.
I'll take the points.
Yeah. I think that's probably
32-31,
right.
32-31, yeah, and that's over. I like the over, frankly.
Yeah, it says Mississippi will win, cover the spread, and the total will go over, is their thing.
Yeah.
Kind of flipping through anything else from a line standpoint. Missouri and Arkansas. Missouri minus 11.5 in that one against the Hogs.
Whew. Boy,
Missouri's got to show they can score 11.5, but it's Arkansas. So, hey, Arkansas covered on Saturday, baby.
Well, they had a pulse in the first half. They just, once it got, it was 7-6.
And got that late touchdown.
It was 7-6 LSU, and then it was 14-21. And then Arkansas was like, okay, well, never mind.
Yeah, and then it was just,
let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Huge game in the American on Saturday, Cincinnati at Memphis.
Oh, yes.
Memphis minus 11 now. Opened at 7. It's jumped to 11. Ooh. I'll take Luke Fickell in 11 points.
Take those 11 points.
Yeah. Don't hate that. Memphis has to win to get into the game, it looks like. Cincinnati's already in the American Championship, although obviously the bigger goal is the Group of Five game. Yeah. If anybody stays undefeated, they will get that, it looks like. Boise State also in contention for that Group of Five game. They're a 13-point favorite against Colorado State on the road. Potentially an interesting Apple Cup this season. Washington State is getting 6.5 to the Huskies in Seattle this weekend.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, just a little game there if you got a curiosity.
Ohio State, Michigan?
What's that line? I'm looking for it. I ain't got there. Michigan. Oh, God, it's jumped. Michigan opened. Hang on, is that right? All right, somebody check this for me because I'm a little confused here. I'm not sure I buy this. My page is showing that Michigan opened as a favorite, but that Ohio State is giving 9 now.
Ooh.
I don't think this thing moved 12 points unless I missed something, so we'll see. But anyway, either way, currently Ohio State minus 9 in that game. Indiana plays Purdue this week, 6.5 minus for Indiana. They got hammered by Michigan over the weekend. Northwestern and Illinois. Illinois giving 10.5 to the Wildcats. That's been a while. Yep. Double-digit favorite for Illinois over Northwestern.
Yeah.
Clemson, South Carolina, 25 is that line.
Whew.
Louisville, Kentucky. Kentucky giving 3 to the Cardinals.
I kind of like Kentucky there.
Do you?
Yeah.
Georgia giving 28 to the Yellow Jackets in Atlanta.
Probably like Georgia Tech with that line, but they're bad.
Yeah, they got a win. They beat NC State, right, over the weekend. Yeah. They're not good at all. He's done a pretty good job recruiting. I'm kind of curious what happens once they get away from some of the skill set that they've had for years and years and years and years there. But they've been bad. They're not. I don't think you can just have the wrong personnel and try to run an offense against that Georgia defense. That's not going to be the way to get things done on that day. So anyway,
our boy Tom Allen gave us really impassioned pregame speech that they put on television.
Did he?
And then Michigan just popped them.
Michigan popped them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not. I took Michigan.
You did?
Remember that one? Yeah. Yeah. Just felt.
I went 0 for the Big Ten. I kind of felt like I had been betrayed by the Big Ten the way that the games played out.
Yeah. Take our final break and tell you about Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Discover the perfect type of holiday getaway in Oxford this holiday season. The Lively City has plenty of exciting events for family and friends, including the Christmas parade, the holiday house tours, and more. It's a wonderland. Enjoy festive activities such as the concert by the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, the holiday ornament auction, all happening this December. Everything from Holiday Village and the Elf Scavenger Hunt to much more, including the Christmas tree lighting on the Oxford Square, visiting Santa on the courthouse lawn, and more. To find out information, visit OxfordMS.com.
The Ole Miss men's hoop team is back on Craddock Court Tuesday, December the 3rd at 6 p.m. for a pivotal non-conference showdown with the Butler Bulldogs. Tickets start at just $10, and can be purchased at OleMissTix.com. Join the Ole Miss Women's Hoops team back in action on Craddock Court on Tuesday, November the 26th, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. as they take on Sam Houston State. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center for their home finale versus Missouri at 6 p.m. Admission is free. More information can be found at OleMissSports.com. The 2019 Men's Hoops SEC Mini Plan is on sale now. For just $175, receive a ticket to all nine home SEC games this season in the pavilion. Visit OleMissTix.com or get your SEC Mini Plan for just $175. And calling all Jackson area Rebels, join the Men's Hoops team in the Mississippi Coliseum on Saturday, December the 21st. As they take on Southeastern Louisiana, skip the lines and pre-order your tickets now by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's a REMAX Legacy Realty Agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. He is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which are up at rebelgrove.com. He's also a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Savannah Square has 32 standalone homes ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to about 2,400 square feet. The model home is at 215 William Street. You can check out several of these homes in different stages of development. The model home, just by getting in touch with Harry, SavannahSquareOxford.com, or give Harry a call or text, 662-801-5621. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Few other lines here. Oklahoma -12.5 at Oklahoma State for Bedlam on Saturday. So 12.5 for that one. Your Warhawks are 21-point underdogs to Louisiana Lafayette in Lafayette on Saturday. Florida.
Big game. Yeah. Emotional game.
Florida State. Florida by -17 for that one. It's in Gainesville. Let's see. A&M LSU is in Baton Rouge, 16.
A lot of bad blood.
16.
A lot of bad blood.
Not going to be a pleasant one there.
No, sir. I'm going to tell you this. If LSU can pop them, they will.
So you like LSU to cover?
I think so. 16. Although A&M played really well in Athens.
Yeah. They had a pulse.
A big time pulse.
Yeah. They were in it.
Everybody likes to make fun of Jimbo. Jimbo's really a good coach. I know the Florida State thing went squirrely. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of that wasn't all on him.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Tulane, SMU -4. Decent game there in the American.
Tulane's kind of faded a little.
Yeah. Notre Dame, Stanford. Notre Dame by 14 against the Cardinals. Had a rough year. Oregon's out of the playoff conversation. They are a 16.5-point favorite against Oregon State on Saturday.
Yeah.
Tennessee -21 against Vanderbilt in Knoxville. It's a weird line, but
give Tennessee credit, man. I know nobody likes to, and I get it. I like to make fun of him too, but he's done a really nice job.
He really has. They've improved. No line for Baylor in Kansas. Baylor's still in this thing. And then Alabama at Auburn.
What's that line? Let me guess. Hold on. Don't tell me.
Yep.
Alabama -3.5.
At a half point, Alabama -4.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
I think I like Auburn to win.
I think what happened on these lines, the reason I have crazy openings, is that for these rivalry games, they open in like June.
Oh.
So I think that's why some of these weird lines are coming through.
Because
it's not completely out of the realm that Michigan was a 3-point favorite against Ohio State back in the summer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because right here, I've got Alabama opening at minus 14. So that means it opened who knows ago.
July.
Yeah. But it's currently at 4 from a matchup standpoint.
I kind of like Auburn in that game.
Odd Shark is not able, because it's an analytic program, not able to factor in Tua out probably because it's just numbers, because they're projecting a 44-29 Alabama win.
Yeah.
And that's not that.
Oh, but the Jones kid's a good player.
He's been fine. He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Just looking at this, you mentioned these other two other teams in this tournament. Ole Miss will get one of them on Friday, either Syracuse or Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Really good resumes to this point for those two as well. Oklahoma State is unbeaten at 5-0. Oral Roberts, Missouri, Kansas City, Charleston, Yale, and Western Michigan. So haven't really played anybody, but they are undefeated. They barely scraped by Western Michigan, which is probably a bad sign because I saw them play in person.
Yeah,
on that last Friday.
They weren't all that.
No. And then Syracuse, they opened up in the play in that conference game against Virginia. Got beat 48-34 to open the season when Boeheim was not happy at all.
Basketball.
Do what?
48-34. That was a basketball game?
That was a basketball game.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Colgate, 70-54. That's when Jimmy Boeheim or whatever his name is went for a lot of points in that one. Seattle, they played them. We've seen that as well.
Yeah.
They beat Seattle 89-67.
Okay.
Beat Cornell 72-53. And then they hammered Bucknell 97-46.
A good sign for Bucknell early. They've lost some games.
Yeah. So that is Ole Miss one loss. Penn State undefeated, Syracuse one loss, Oklahoma State undefeated to this point for the tournament this weekend. Yeah. It's at the Barclays Center, correct?
Yeah, Wednesday and Friday.
It's like a day off, too, to go do New York or whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and no, there won't be a Wednesday night hand-raised guy after that game. We're going to do a hand-raised guy on Thursday night, so we'll talk about basketball some, too, that night. And then we're doing family Thanksgiving on Friday,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know how much coverage of Friday's game I'll be providing.
Okay.
So it's Jim Boeheim's kid?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
So, anyway. All right. We will finish it up there. We will talk to you again tomorrow. We know that for sure as far as our schedule allows, and then we'll let you know where we go from there. But hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you then.